This is the Hockey News Podcast.
Hey everybody, it's the Hockey News Podcast. Matt Larkin here with Ryan Kennedy, physically on the phone. Kenneth Campbell, the first, is with us as well. It's the free agency preview, just days away. We're about to get started. And yeah, it's not the flashy free agent class it was a year ago, but there's still always going to be big speculation. There's some big names out there. I want to kick it off by talking about the biggest names, starting with the bell of the ball, the right-handed shooting defenseman, Kevin Shattenkirk. I mean, there's debate. I mean, a lot of people have a bad taste in their mouth after his playoffs. Personally, I still think that was a small sample size. He's going to still be a great signing. Where do you guys think is the best fit and logical landing spot for Shattenkirk?
Well, I mean, the Rangers have been talked about forever, and, you know, they have obviously cleared out some cap space, so I would think that the Rangers would be there because he's the biggest free agent, and he's going to make the most money, and so that's what the Rangers do. So, I mean, that I think that's one place. Another, maybe dark horse, I think, would be Tampa Bay for Shattenkirk. You know, they probably could have taken a run for him at the trade deadline. But they, you know, I know that Yzerman has said he wants to add another defenseman to his group to supplement that. And, you know, I think maybe that might be a dark horse sort of candidate for him.
I like both of those. I would also add Boston into the mix. That's the city where he played his college hockey with the BU Terriers. And if you look at the Bruins right now, they're not great, but they have a lot of nice elements. They still have Bergeron, still have Krejci. Pasternak has, you know, grown leaps and bounds already. That decor, they've got some nice young players, but they need to modernize quickly. Before Zdeno Chara, you know, reaches his expiration date. So I think if you can bring Shattenkirk in there, then you got a really nice mobile unit. You already got Torrey Krug. You're probably going to see a nice dose of Charlie McAvoy as a rookie. So all of a sudden, you've got like a nice kind of, you know, modern defense core going on there if the Bruins can make it work money-wise.
I think those are good picks. I got my eye on Tampa Bay because obviously, you know, Sergachev is coming, but he's an entry-level deal at worst, and that frees up space that would have gone to Jonathan Durant on his extension. So Tampa Bay, even though they have to re-sign Palat and Tyler Johnson, they still have $20 million roughly in cap space, so I do think there might be room for Shattenkirk. There's some other sleepers out there. I've started hearing stuff about Buffalo, and that's kind of intriguing to me because you got Phil Housley, a good defensive-minded, obviously, you know, he worked with that great top four in Nashville. It might be appealing to Shattenkirk to play there, and you're being part of something long-term with Jack Eichel. My deep sleeper, this would be pretty disappointing. I'm sorry to say it, New Jersey. I don't want to say that it's disappointing when players sign with you. But, I mean, if Shattenkirk really cares about term, who knows? Maybe Ray Shero says, hey, we need some stability. We have no talent on the back end. He's got a home in the Hamptons, Shattenkirk. So we'll throw money at you. We need to build around somebody. So, hey, come on down to New Jersey. Next up atop the list, Alexander Radulov. And it's interesting because a few weeks ago it seemed like there wasn't even a debate. He's coming back to Montreal. All of a sudden Jonathan Drouin's in town. Is there still room for Radulov? We know he wants a long-term deal with big money. Do you guys think he's going to be a Montreal Canadian? And if not, where is he going to go?
I think he's going to stay in Montreal. And he's going to get his long-term deal, and I'm not sure if that's the best way to go with a guy like Radulov. It wouldn't be so much the money as the term that I'd be worried about with a guy like that. You know, I just wonder how he would respond to being comfortable and signed for a few years. That would really scare me because, I mean, you're looking at probably, you know, at least a four-year, probably a five-year deal at about, I don't know, somewhere in the five to six range. That's a lot of money and a lot of term for a guy who, you know, has really kind of been in and out of the NHL and has been a guy that's been a bit of a question mark. So, but I think Montreal will re-sign him. If they don't, I could see him going any number of places. You know, hey, maybe even a place like Chicago if they can afford him, but they probably can't. So I would think it would be. I still think it's going to be Montreal. I still think Montreal's going to make it happen. He enjoyed his time in Montreal this year. He played well there. He had a good year. You know, and it might be a case of him knowing what he has there and knowing that he can come back and you know, continue what he started this past season.
Yeah, I think Montreal's a pretty good fit, particularly since, you know, I share Ken's concerns when it comes to term, but anytime I think Marc Bergevin's going to zig, he zags, so I'm almost, like, reverse thinking that it's going to happen. I'm going to throw out a dark horse here. What about Florida? You look at the Panthers, and they're set down the middle. They just lost a nice dose of scoring with Jonathan Marchessault and Riley Smith both heading out of town.
What were they thinking?
I know, but that's not the topic of this podcast. You know, I mean, maybe Yager comes back and you don't want to get too old on the wings, but, I mean, Radulov, dude scores, and it's hard to say no to Florida weather if you're a hockey player sometimes, particularly at this stage in his career. So I'm going to throw that out as an option.
I'm going to see your Florida and raise you at Dallas. If I'm Jim Neal right now, I think, you know what? Jason Spez is getting up there. I've got Sagan and Ben in their primes right now. I just ponied up big money and term. Or not huge money, more big term for Ben Bishop. So I'm clearly going for it. This team's in win-now mode. I don't think they're strong enough on the wings, especially the way Valentin Nichushkin has not panned out and Denis Gurianov is not ready yet. I think he could be a good fit. It would be a dangerous investment for sure. But to me at this point, Dallas is reaching that point where they're entering their window. They're 1 year removed from winning the Central, and they had a lot of bad injuries this past year to their forward core. So they were unlucky, had bad goaltending. I think they're a huge bounce-back candidate. And if you add Radulov to that mix, maybe they're sneaky dangerous in a Central division that's very much in flux with what happened to Chicago in the playoffs and in the offseason so far. Another big D-man on the market, another Washington Capitals guy, Carl Alzner. And to me, he's interesting because, you know, he's a good shutdown guy. Some of the analytics folk think he's a bit overrated in that regard. I personally think he's the number one candidate to get really overpaid this offseason. Where do you guys see Alzner ending up?
Well, they're all going to get overpaid, but you're right. I mean, relatively speaking, you know, a guy like Alzner could get overpaid. And again, it's not the money, it's the term that I think you worry about with almost all of these guys. You know, you don't mind paying them for a year or two, but after that it has the potential to get uglier and uglier. A lot of teams are looking for defensemen. I think Detroit would be a place where he might end up. I think even Toronto might be a place where he ends up. He's a veteran guy who can, as you said, Matt, he's more of a shutdown, well, he's a complete shutdown guy. You know, very little offensive thrust to his game, and you know, very little other than the fact that he can, you know, log some minutes and shut guys down. And there are a lot of teams looking for that, and that's when that is, as you said, you know, the perfect recipe for being overpaid. It's not, you know, what you do, it's how many teams want you, and there are a few teams looking for that kind of defenseman for sure.
Yeah, I think Toronto is a really good option. I understand the reservations that the advanced stats crowd has, but I see Alzner as more of a guy who could unleash a Morgan Riley, where, you know, we know Riley has some nice offensive skills, but, you know, playing with Nikita Zaitsev, I feel like he had to sort of pull back a little bit this past season, and that might have hurt his effectiveness overall. And, you know, it's not Zaitsev's fault that it was his rookie season in the NHL. But if you've got Alzner in that spot instead, Riley knows he has a guy that can take care of things in his own end, has no aspirations to rush the puck up the ice. So maybe you're getting a different fit in that instance where Riley becomes more of an offensive rushing guy, which I believe is more to his strength. And that could be, you know, something that helps the Leafs out, where it's not necessarily Alzner's skill set, but what he can unlock in a player like Riley.
It's interesting, too, because if you think of Riley, the way he was used on Team North America, obviously he had much better company, but he was very free to just do his thing, and that was probably the best Morgan Riley I've ever seen, personally. I'm looking at the Montreal Canadiens for Carl Alzner, just from a hockey sense. I don't know financially if it'll work. It depends on if they trade Alex Galchenyuk. It depends on if they re-sign Radulov. But just from a pure hockey standpoint, Andrei Markov is getting old. And again, the Habs are another team that's clearly all in right now. Carey Price is in his prime. Shea Weber is signed. signed until 2037, and he's getting pretty old already. So you've got to make that point to Carey Price, who's a UFA next summer. Hey, we're gonna surround you with talent. We're going for it. We know we have a window right now. So to me, signing a guy like Alsner would send a clear message to Price that, hey, no, we intend to pursue a Stanley Cup. And I do think he's the kind of guy that they need on that blue line right now.
2037 for...
Yeah, something like that. Like, he'll... I mean, hockey will be played virtually by then with just people in floating spaceships and, you know, whatever. Who knows what the future will be, but...
At 28, is Carl Alsner old enough to be on Montreal's blue line?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question.
He's old enough to rent a car. I think that's their baseline.
The baseline.
Must be 25. That's why Sergachev could not play
them.
This is a weird one. So Joe Thornton is still getting a lot of talk, even though he's a guy recovering from a torn ACL, MCL. And Patrick Marleau is also getting a lot of chatter, and it sounds like they could be pulling a Sedins and going everywhere as a package deal. And the rumor that I've seen and we've seen on Twitter the most is if it's not going to be re-signing in San Jose, they're going to stay in the state and go to L.A.? The slowest team in the NHL is going to try and get slower and bigger? I don't get it personally. What do you guys think? Do you think they're going to stay in San Jose? Are they going to find new homes? What's happening?
Yeah, the L.A. thing makes no sense to me. It just makes no sense to me. I mean, I like Joe. He's a wonderful guy. He's obviously a great guy to have in your room. Great presence, you know, great pedigree. Can still dish the puck. I mean, he had... 50 assists last year, you know, so he's still a pretty useful guy in that respect, but it makes no sense in Los Angeles as far as I'm concerned. I think these two guys are ultimately, I'm not sure if this is just kind of a power play or whatever, but I don't see them playing anywhere other than San Jose. I just, they are Sharks. Marlowe's been a Shark for life. Like, why would Patrick Marleau want to just pick up and go and sign a one-year deal somewhere else? Like, I don't know. It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me. His family's there. He's lived there forever. You know, his kids are there. I just don't see him, you know, taking a one-year deal, you know, with the Rangers or somebody like that just to go and play somewhere else. Because, you know, I mean, and the fact of the matter is San Jose still, you know, I mean, they're not a top-level contender, but they're still in the mix, you know? Like, they've still got a chance to... you know, to maybe, you know, go far in the playoffs in the next year or two. So I don't see them going anywhere.
Yeah, it feels like there's no point in moving at this point, especially because, you know, I mean, the West, we've seen anything can happen in the West in the past couple of years when it comes to the playoffs. And I think, obviously, one-year deal is the way to go here. Maybe this is the wrinkle. Maybe it's a one-year deal where... there's almost kind of a tacit acknowledgement that come trade deadline, if the Sharks don't look like big contenders, maybe one or both of those guys goes to a team that has cup aspirations, that needs somebody to just kind of overload their forward core and bring in some minutes. I mean, the interesting thing about Thornton is, you know, you mentioned the World Cup of Hockey earlier when it came to Morgan Rielly, but, you know, Thornton was like, you know, he was a bottom six guy. And he was good in that role. And I think, you know, when you can do that at that age and are willing to accept that, it really kind of opens up things for you. And I think it could be kind of an interesting little niche as he kind of, you know, winds down his NHL career.
I think you guys are right. I think the Sharks are going to give the can one more kick, especially with, like, Brent Burns is in his early 30s, so he's nearing the end of his prime years at least, even though it doesn't look that way on paper. But from a fantasy perspective, like in a perfect world, I'd love to see Joe Thornton go to a team like Nashville, who's also a contender who could really use help at the center position. He'd have good wingers to distribute the puck to, you know, whether it's Arvidsson or Philip Forsberg. And he would be playing in another non-traditional market. I mean, the Preds fans are great, but it's not the same as playing if he'd gone to, you know, let's say if he went to Edmonton or something, right? And I know it's well documented that Joe Thornton loves being in San Jose, and he could get similar fan treatment in Nashville. He could hide behind the personality of P.K. Subban, just like Brent Burns is quite the lightning rod in San Jose. It would be a fun fit. I don't think it's going to happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Predators had interest because, I mean, these days David Poile's a cowboy. He'll try anything. Another guy on the list, he's not as sexy as some of the other
players. Not a huge offensive game, but a very good two-way player. Got great size at the center position. Martin Hanzel. I do think he's going to be one of the most sought-after guys. And again, because the market's going to be very busy for him, he's probably going to sign for a lot more than he's worth. Where do you guys see him going?
Wow. I don't know. I guess people who are crazy about this guy didn't watch the playoffs last year. I thought he was terrible in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And again, a small sample size. You're looking at teams that will be looking for strength up the middle. Maybe San Jose. Maybe he stays where he is. Maybe he stays in Arizona. Arizona has. Apparently they're going to be aggressive with guys, and they're going to not stays in Arizona, but goes back to Arizona. Sorry. Maybe they reach out to him, and I know that a lot of people there were wondering why they traded him last year, and thought he was a pretty good commodity for them to hang on to. So maybe he goes back to Arizona. Maybe he goes to a team like San Jose. Anybody that's looking for depth up the middle. This would probably be a guy that they'd want to sign.
Yeah, I could see San Jose as an option, particularly if Thornton and or Marlowe ended up going. Here's a dark horse for you, Edmonton.
You stole mine!
Aha! Great minds think alike. I mean, obviously, we know they've got a pretty good number one center, but again, if you're talking about depth, and if you're looking at this Oilers team as one that is entering its Stanley Cup window already, thanks to Mr. McDavid and... Cam Talbot, solid in net. I think you've got the makings. We already saw them make a pretty nice run in the playoffs. If Hanzel is your third or fourth line center, if he's willing to accept that role and the money and term that goes along with it, then I think that could be a pretty nice fit because you're getting different looks. You're getting a big body down the middle. You're creating matchup problems for teams. And I think that could be pretty beneficial, assuming Hanzel gets his game back on track.
For sure, I'm with you, and especially in today's game, I think there is a such thing as a game-breaking third-line center. It's kind of like what Jordan Staal was in Pittsburgh a few years back. I think Kevin Hayes has become that for the Rangers. If you put Hanzel as a third-line guy, I think he could be very effective. The problem, it's a great hockey fit for Edmonton because they lacked size at center in the playoffs. It gave them trouble against Getzlaff and Ryan Kessler, so I love the fit. But we, of course, know that McDavid's about to get his extension, which is going to kick in next year. Leon Draisaitl is a restricted free agent. He's going to get huge money as well. I think he could probably point to the Tarasenko contract. So between those two, theoretically, 2 years from now, you could have McDavid and Draisaitl combining for $20 million in cap space. So,
which is exactly why you'd only sign him to a one-year deal.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing. But if you're Martin Hanzel, you don't take a one-year deal. This is your big ticket. You're going to get offered five-year deals everywhere. So... I love the fit from a hockey standpoint, but I just don't know if Edmonton will be able to make the offer that he would need to sign there. Hard to say. Looking at some of the more obscure guys, who are you guys looking at right now that's getting not a lot of buzz, but who's kind of a sleeper, who's going to give good bang for their buck?
Well, I think the guy that I would pick would be Radim Verbata. I'm pretty sure that there's not anybody in this free agent class that had more points than he did last season. He had 55 points last year, 20 goals. He had a really, really strong season. Went back to Arizona, doubled his points. He had 27 the year before, doubled his points. He's up there in age, but if you could get this guy on a one-year deal, a one- or two-year deal at reasonable money, you might have a guy that could really contribute for you. Could be a 15 to 20 goal guy, 40 point guy, a guy that can give you real value. So that would be my guy.
I'm looking at Cody Franzen. This is a player that, the advanced stats crowd tends to favor a little more than the old school guys. He's a puck mover, and I don't think he's going to cost too much right now. You probably don't have to pony up too much on term, but having said that, maybe you take that gamble and you give him a couple of years. I think he could be a really nice value pick where he can slide into, a second line pairing, or if you're a really good team, a third line pairing, and really, help push the pace for a team.
That's good. I'm looking at Brian Elliott, which is weird because Brian Elliott had kind of a nightmare season and he ended the playoffs with Calgary, you know, on a low note. He drove himself out of Calgary. Mike Smith came in. But that was Brian Elliott, the starting goalie. Brian Elliott, the 1B or the backup, regularly plays like he's about to win the Vezina Trophy. He posts unbelievable numbers when the pressure's off him, when he's only asked to play 30 games a year and you know, spell an injured guy. He's always really good. So I'm thinking, you know, if a team like maybe the Boston Bruins wants to spell Tuukka Rask a little more often, or even the Ducks, if they don't re-sign Jonathan Bernier, and John Gibson's had some injury problems, maybe they bring in Brian Elliott and he gets to play 30 games. I think whatever team brings him in as a 1B comes away really happy. Just Brian Elliott, do not go to Philadelphia. Don't sign to be their starter because those fans will chase you out of their city. On the flip side of the coin, who are you guys worried about? Who's your buyer beware, your fool's gold guy who's out there that's going to burn a team?
Well, I mean, take your pick. No, seriously. Like, and I'm not bailing on this, but everybody. This is guys. This is the least impressive free agent class I've ever seen.
I agree. It's slim pickings.
Like, and I wrote this today. There are going to be so many mistakes made on Saturday that it's not going to be funny. Guys are going to get contracts and term that teams are going to come back to regret. I believe it's going to start with Kevin Shattenkirk, and it's going to go right down the line. I think that I don't see one guy, and I say this in complete honesty, I don't see one guy here that moves the needle significantly for any team. And I just think it's a terrible free agent class. If I were a team that was looking for something, I would look somewhere else because you're just not going to find it in this group. And, you know, I mean, okay, so let's pick a guy. I mean, like I said, they're all really big risks. I guess, I don't know, a guy like Thomas Vanek, I guess, would be a guy that I'd be really afraid of signing. And I'm sure that there's going to be some interest on the guy. You know, if you could get him on a one-year deal, I suppose that wouldn't be so bad. But the window's closing pretty fast on this guy.
I mean, it's going to be kind of funny when these guys sign. You say it's not even funny, but it's going to be pretty funny.
Yeah, we might laugh.
I'm probably going to laugh at some of the contracts. I look specifically at Andrei Markov, and I get out my 10-foot pole, and I get ready to stand behind it. It sounds like Montreal, you know, they're trying to make it work. It sounds like Markov's not going to be cheap. And he's not looking for a one-year deal, and I'm looking at a 38-year-old whose best hockey is already behind him, and I just see somebody sucking up cap space for no good reason in the future. So that would be the sort of like beacon for me, and maybe he's the representative of this class where, you know, teams think they need these bodies, but they might just be better off grabbing a prospect from their system and giving them a shot instead.
I do remember, I mean, it was 2 years ago. It was the Matt Beleski year where we all thought it was going to be a nightmare and all these guys are going to get overpaid. And that was the year where so many of the contracts turned out to be reasonable.
That's true.
And yet somehow Matt Beleski ended up still being overpaid, even though because he, you know, ended up not scoring at all. But that's neither here nor there. If I have to pick a guy who's the bust pick, it feels mean because he was such a cute, cuddly little story. He had a great little comeback year, Sam Gagner. But I don't know. He's just, he was struggling for years. He hasn't been an effective NHLer for several seasons until this breakout year in Columbus. I feel like if a team's going to pay him a long-term deal on 1 year of performance, I think it's dangerous. He could regress and he could end up being the Sam Gagner of 2 years ago.
Now, here's a question for you. What if Sam Gagner re-signed in Columbus where the fit seemed to work pretty well?
I mean, I think his chances would be better. Mm-hmm. But again, if I were them, I would seek a 1 or 2 year deal. Like,
yeah,
still, prove it again. Then we'll commit to you, right? Mm-hmm. We got time for some reader questions. We'll start with Anita Bischoff. She says, what are the Wings' chances for upgrading their defense?
Well, take one look at the defensemen that are available, and you can answer that question.
Man, Ken's just hating on this class. At least he didn't do it at the start of the podcast, so people didn't like tune out.
Yeah, no, I really like. I can't say enough bad things about this group. I don't think they're gonna like. I mean, they're gonna get a defenseman. You know, they're gonna get a defenseman. They'll get an Alsner, or they'll, you know, maybe a Dmitry Kulikov. Okay, so you signed Dmitry Kulikov. Here's a guy who's 26. You know, had back issues and a concussion last year, and was just god awful, terrible. You know, maybe he comes back and at a, you know, at a decent pay rate and a decent term, comes back and bounces back. And you know, I mean, it's not that long ago that he was pretty good. Like, you know, for the Panthers in the playoffs 2 years ago, he was really good. So maybe he's a guy that if they can get him, you know, they turn his game around a little bit, and he's a guy that maybe they can get an upgrade with.
I think based on the shape of Detroit's blue line at the end of this year, they're only going to get better, and perhaps it's addition through free agency, but maybe it's even just a matter of, you know, getting some of their kids up there. I know they're very high on Robbie Russo. Feels like Xavier Ouellette, this is going to be his time, where they've sort of brought him along at a good clip, and now is sort of his time to jump into the fray full time. So I think they'll be a bit better. I don't think they need to do too much, and I don't think they should do too much, because they're at the trough. They're at the Marianas Trench of rebuilds right now, and there's no sense going short-term fix. I think they should just give the kids a bit of a run and see what happens. And if it's bad, that's okay, because you want to amass players and assets, and this is the time to do it.
It's funny, I don't know if Ken Holland agrees, but I think the Wings still need to bottom out. And one way to do it is, you know, by not adding too much talent and kind of rigging your roster to sink. But they could do what the Leafs did in recent seasons before their breakout last year, which was bring in guys that they can flip later. So I look at a guy like Michael Delzato, who would be probably a cheap signing because he's had injury problems. He might be willing to accept a one-year deal, and he can be your power play quarterback. Maybe he puts up some decent numbers, put him out there with Mike Green, and then you can flip Delzato at the deadline for a pick if he's having a good year. That's the kind of thing I envision for Detroit. I guess we're going to continue breaking the record for the most we've ever talked about Sam Gagner on the podcast. There's a question from Lou Sita. Do you see the Isles signing Sam Gagner to fill the void at center they have? I'm going to answer this first, because I just want to say I don't think they have a void at center. They have John Tavares. They have Brock Nelson. They have Matthew Barzal, who can make the team. They have Casey Zizekas. So I don't see a void at center, so I don't see the need to sign a center. But it's a fair question from Lou, because I know they were linked to Duchesne. I also don't understand the Duchesne rumors unless he's going to play the left wing. I'll pass it over to Ken now. That's my two cents.
Well, I mean, Sam Gagner is a guy who, as we talked about, was pretty productive last year, had a good year. I agree with you about the Islanders, by the way, 100%. I'm not sure that they really need to, you know, I mean, unless it comes out, you know, July 1st that John Tavares says, hey, look, we're not going to get a deal here. And, you know, I mean, you don't want to face that soap opera for the entire year. And if you, you know, and you know, maybe you look at trading him sooner rather than later, but that's probably not going to happen, at least in the short term. You know, maybe a Florida, they've lost, you know, a fair bit of scoring with the two guys that we talked about at the beginning, Marchessault and Riley, and everybody's kind of scratching their heads, wondering, you know, what they were thinking when they allowed both of those guys to go. So maybe he's a good fit in a place like Florida where they need a bit of scoring punch. And, he doesn't have to play center. He can play all three positions. He's done it before. He can play the wing. So, you know, that might be a place for him.
Yeah, another option for me would be, you know, just a crack in Arizona. I think the Coyotes, obviously they're going to give Clayton Keller and Dylan Strome every opportunity to make that roster and to make an impact, but it doesn't hurt to have kind of a plan C there, or even just, as Ken pointed out, a swingman who can do some different things on your roster, help out with the power play, be a veteran presence, be a guy who's kind of been through a lot. I think that can be very valuable, and maybe that's sort of a dark horse locale where he could help out in sort of a low-key way.
And one, I guess one little factor to consider with Tavares that I kind of forgot about till now is I'm pretty sure Gagne and Tavares are childhood buddies, so maybe that would be a reason for him to go. I believe they grew up in the same area. And
they played on the same Milton Ice Hawks junior A team for a while.
They've been friends since they were kids, and I think Gagne had an outdoor rink at his house, and Tavares went there and played on it all the time when they were kids. And yeah, they're pretty tight, those two guys.
That's right. They lived in my hometown. Cool story, bro. Salim Kerbawi, sorry if I pronounced your name wrong, Salim, says, should the Sens target a D to play with Erik Karlsson, in brackets, Salim puts Alzner Kulikov, or use an internal replacement?
There was the whole Mark Messier thing where we thought that he couldn't get traded back to Ottawa until January 1st, and then it sort of leaked out that that there was a way that they could make it happen, and they still didn't get him. And then the thought ended up going to Dallas for what I thought was a pretty low exchange. If I'm Ottawa, the last of my worries is who I'm going to find to play with Erik Karlsson.
Yeah,
I mean, it really would. Like, I just if I'm looking at this free agent group and I'm looking to where my team needs to get better and what I need to do, the last thing I'm saying is, who can we get to play with Erik Karlsson? Because anybody can play with Erik Karlsson.
Yeah, including Mark Methot, who, according to possession numbers, was not good except for when he was with Karlsson. So I'm with you there, Kenny boy.
Well, it's just like all you have to do is, like, how hard is it to look up and see where Erik Karlsson is and put the puck near him? Like, you don't even have to put it on a stick. You just got to put it somewhere near where he's standing, and you got a pretty good chance of getting it out of your zone. So, I don't know. I just think anybody'd be able to play with the guy. I don't think that should be a high priority at all for the Senators.
Yeah, and I mean the big X factor here is what happens with Dion Phaneuf. But let's just assume for now that nothing happens and he remains a Senator. Let's not forget that Thomas Chabot is going to be a full-time pro this season, or this upcoming season. And even though I'm not saying that you pair Chabot and Karlsson together, I think he gives them a really nice option as a mobile D. You know, you maybe start him off in a smaller role and see how he goes with that. But you've got some decent depth there on the Ottawa blue line. And of course, you know, Karlsson can play 28 minutes a night if you need him to. Probably best if it's more like 26. But I think with the addition of Chabot and the way some of their younger guys played in the playoffs, I think they were pretty happy with that on the back end. So I think they just they go status quo and sort of graduate Chabot into the ranks.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Chabot as well, and I agree, like, because he's super mobile. He's not necessarily the long-term answer. He might be better off splitting them onto two different pairings. But either way, I think he's got the ability, kind of like Ivan Provorov last year made the jump, and I could see Chabot making the jump this year. And what you could do is insurance. You could sign kind of just a guy to plug in there with Karlsson. Like Matt Hunwick is a guy who he's the type that would not be the puck carrier. He's actually pretty experienced playing on a top pair with a mobile guy because he played with Morgan Rielly a lot. So he could be your equivalent of Mark Methot. Keep the seat warm, and then if Chabot makes the team, then you're Bob's your uncle, as our managing editor Edward Fraser would say. One last question is from Kai Parker. What do you think the Leafs will do to help their defense?
Well, they're looking, and I think they need to get a stay-at-home guy who can take care of things in their back end. You look at it, like an Alzner. I think that's the guy that it seemed like they were going after Miller with Boston, didn't get it done. They were trying to do some other deals. And they didn't get it done. So I would suspect that, a guy like an Alzner would be a guy that they might target, a guy who's still young enough to, give them some good years of service, and a guy who, can play to his strengths, and that is to be a defensive guy, maybe pair with a more offensive guy to be that defensive conscience and sort of keep things stable behind the blue line and allow that other guy to roam a little more. So I would think that would be the kind of a guy that they would be looking for, but it would definitely be, obviously they're set at forward. Obviously, they've got a lot of talent at forward. you know, maybe they bring a Brian Boyle back to center their fourth line, maybe not. But they'd have to be definitely looking at the blue line.
Yeah, I think they need to add somebody. And, I mean, Alsner's one. I wonder if Johnny Oduya might be an option. Great experienced guy, obviously coming from, you know, a great Chicago program. And, you know, he's been a winner. The name that I think would be perfect for the Leafs, and it's not going to happen, is Marc-Edouard Vlasic in San Jose. It looks like the Sharks are already talking to him about, you know, getting him long-term once again once his contract runs out. But, you know, those are some of the sort of names that, you know, they just need somebody that can sort of stabilize things. They've got a lot of young players coming up that aren't ready yet, but they're probably not too far off. But, again, with the way this free agency class looks, I don't think it's that tempting. It seems like for the Leafs, like, a trade's probably better. I mean, you know, Matt Dumba was linked to them at one point. I'm not sure if there's, you know, any sparks left in that fire, but it seems like they need at least one guy right now that could hop in right away and play meaningful minutes.
And Dumba's a good example because it's clear that they're pursuing a guy who plays the right side. They were in hard on Travis Hamonic, and I guess they offered James Van Riemsdyk in a first rounder. I know they were linked to Brendan Smith, who, because even though he's left shot, he plays the right side a lot. So to me, Dumba would make a lot of sense, especially for a team like Minnesota, who they might be interested in a JVR because the Wild have had trouble with their scoring up front. To me, the ideal dream scenario, I mean, there's Sammy Vatanen still out there if he gets healthy, but if the Leafs could find a package to offer to Winnipeg for Jacob Trouba, to me that's the dream fit. And we don't know that Trouba wants to stay in Winnipeg long-term. He signed that two-year extension. But that's the guy, if I'm Lou Lamoriello, that's the guy that I go hard after. Well, that concludes the podcast for this week. Enjoy free agency, everybody. We'll see if everybody gets overpaid like Ken predicts. And tune back in next week. We'll review the signings and we'll award some winners and losers. Thanks a lot.